Welcome to New Realities. My name is Alan Steinfeld, and each week on this program I try to bring the most exciting, leading-edge thinkers I find and talk about a spiritual revolution that's happening in this country. And tonight's guests are people who are very much at the leading edge of this shift in consciousness. And my first guest is Dr. Catherine Shainberg, who will be featured at this conference coming up in New York City on October 17th to the 19th called Imagination, Spirit, and Immortality, The Quest for Eternal Life. Catherine, are you there?
Yes, I am, yes.
So,
thank you for calling me.
Oh, sure. No, I'm very interested in what you have to say. I mean, you'll be speaking about activating the light body and the golden seed of immortality. I know that immortality is a possibility for everyone. And you talk about something like the bones, is a seed-like bone called the Lutz bone. Can you go into how what your premise behind immortality is and how it's connected to the bones?
Definitely. But at first, of course, immortality is a challenge for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I ask an audience, anybody here wants to be immortal? The answer generally is that nobody wants to be immortal.
Really? I want to be immortal, and I just met a bunch of people in Phoenix who have about 300 people living with them who are all seeking immortality. Anyway, I know what
Good.
You mean.
But this is very, very important because immortality cannot happen unless there's a great change in consciousness.
I agree with you. And I think, you know, people aren't happy with their lives, so they figure, what do they want to be around forever for? But, you know, it's not about the body that's not happy. It's about the mind that's not happy, you know?
Well, but there's really no difference between the mind, the body, and all the bodies. We create a difference, and that's what makes it very difficult. People forget that they are in this incarnation, in a body that is experiencing, and the mind is only there to register what the body is experiencing and to be able to describe it. But people have shifted this around, and the mind has taken over and become the primary speaker here.
But how do you propose we do? I mean, I know people that do want to live forever. What's your method of achieving immortality?
Well, the first thing is that one has to shift make a switch in the mind. That is that we're now looking at the dreaming mind, which is the experiencing mind, because when we do that, we are creating light in our bodies.
Talk about the dreaming mind. What do you mean by that?
What I mean is that we have a left brain, a right brain. That's the easiest way to explain it.
Mm-hmm.
When we are in, let's say that we are eventing, we are experiencing, we are passing through, the right brain is dreaming this event. It is reorganizing the creating the coherence of the body and giving it back to us in a dreaming image. This
right.
is what has to be looked at and lived with. Most of us are now very involved with playing with the mental mind. This is not the experiencing mind. To be able to come to any place where we create light in the body, which is what is necessary to renew ourselves, we have to start first by going back to experiencing and to coherence. The dreaming is what gives coherence to our body. Am I making sense?
You are making sense. Thank you for checking in, because a lot of guests just go on and don't check about making sense. So I think you're saying that we need to come into presence in our bodies. We need to feel ourselves present, and we need to sort of shift a way of thinking. But how do we bring more light in? What's the process?
Well, the premise that I work with, and it's a very old system. It's an old Kabbalistic system, an old Jewish system of development. We shift our consciousness to looking at the dreaming. You're dreaming all the time, morning, during the day as well as at night. This mind that is creating organization out of the multiple chaotic stimuli that come from all over the place to us. The body needs to recreate organization, and it does it through the dreaming mind. The dreaming mind is what makes our body cohesive.
Wait, so let me just follow that. You're saying basically that we are dreaming all the time, 24 hours a day, while we're awake and while we're asleep. Yes, it's more obvious when we're asleep that we do dream, but right now there's the right part of my brain that is dreaming this experience as well as the left part that is trying to analyze the experience.
Exactly. And the dreaming is the what makes us coherent, how the atoms come together and hold together.
I've been doing some experiences when I've been really tired and allowing myself to just kind of lose normal consciousness and go into a dream, and it seems like it's more confused in that dream state. The events and things and places don't have the same coherency. But what happens is when I come out of that kind of, let's say, dreamlike confusion, I feel very much more regenerated. Now, does that make sense?
It does make sense, but actually people think that it's confused because they have never learned how to enter into the dreaming state and to understand that it's a holistic event, as all experience is holistic.
Oh, that's
interesting. We're not trying to analyze falling in love. We just fall in love, and the body moves a certain way when we are in love. It expands. People don't realize that their bodies are moving all the time. They're not fixed entities.
Wait, I just want to stay on that point, the fact that dreaming is a holistic state. Now, I think I get it. It means that, in a sense, the world is impacting upon us all at once.
Right.
And we are in the, let's say, the chaos of that in some level.
In the dialogue with that, creating order out of chaos.
But it's the left brain that creates the order, right?
Well, not exactly, because it's done through a homeostasis, if you want, of the body. And the body is in constant relationship with itself and with the outside world, and it's creating an ecosystem within and without.
Yeah, the way I understand that is that the right brain, the dreaming brain, let's say, creates patterns. It recognizes the world through patterns of recognition.
Absolutely.
And that's a very predominant right brain skill.
Right.
So that's part of the holistic input of the right brain, right?
It goes through analogy. It picks up similarities, resonances, identities, and so it makes sense in that manner. If I see a leaf that looks like a plate that looks like a leaf, I recognize the two immediately. They become one in my mind for a moment.
And it's also seeing the big picture. So people miss the trees, for they can't see the forest because they're only seeing the trees. Where's
exactly
the forest?
Exactly.
So I get that. But so then how does that all then relate to more light in the body and immortality? Because I'm very much fascinated by dreams. But
all right.
Yeah.
Well, whenever you look in, whenever you are looking into that brain, you are creating light. You are making images, and these images are light.
Oh, that's an important point. So let me just digest that. So you're saying this, when we tune into this dreaming brain, and even though it seems confused, there's actually more light we're allowing into the system.
Exactly.
But what's happening all the time, so why, how do we, How do I, looking at it, does it, yeah.
Because if you don't pay attention to this, you're not dialoguing with it.
Mm.
And it's the dialogue which quickens the body. Now, if you want immortality, you've got to quicken the body. The body, Einstein is clear, mass multiplied by the velocity of square velocity of light, right?
Mm-hmm.
Equals energy.
Right.
So the more we bring light into the body, the more we are transforming the vibratory quality of our body.
Wait, so let me just get that part. So you're saying as we tune into the dreaming mind, we bring a dialogue between the, let's say, the observing brain, the observing soul, self, and the,
right.
and the part that's being infused with this consciousness that's constantly bombarding us in a way that we're trying to make coherence out of. And that awareness of the let's say the holistic event that's happening to us will give us more light that will increase who we are, because we're taking in light. And Einstein also said when you reach the speed of light, time stops.
Exactly. Now the one thing that never changes in this universe is the speed of light.
Well,
so when you reach that, you are in a sense reaching a place not only of enlightenment but of cohesion.
But we reach the speed of light by being totally present. Is that it?
Exactly. But it goes through the dreaming, which is the language of the body.
But the dreaming, if we were to live just in the dreaming, we would not be able to get anything done. We need the non-dreaming stuff.
No. It's because people don't understand that there's all the perverted uses of the imagination.
Uh-huh.
But when you tap into the revelatory aspect of dreaming, that is that you, let's say you have a night dream that's a repetitive dream, you respond to the necessity of that repetitive dream. Let's say you have a dream where the toilet is clogged,
uh-huh.
and in the morning you go back into your dream and flush the toilet and clean the space.
Uh-huh.
You are creating a dialogue between yourself and your cohering mechanism, if you want.
Right, but don't we need the other part of ourselves to come back into the world and carry out the function?
What I'm trying to say to you is that when we clear the imagination of all these perverted busynesses and fantasies, we come to true experience, true presencing.
Mm.
And it's the dreaming which gives us that.
In what way? Can you tell me an experience you had where that made sense to you?
Well, yes. I mean, thousands of people can tell you that. Suddenly they have a movement in the body and an image comes to them or a voice comes to them saying to them, turn right. You turn right and the bomb explodes to your left.
Uh-huh.
It happened to me 3 times in Israel, so I can tell you that. Right?
What I'm
trying to say is that the body language is dream. The true imagination comes up and tells you exactly the truth.
Well, actually, I do get what you're saying, because I'm writing a paper about art and creativity, and I think through artists and poets, this dreaming mind is always speaking to them when they tune in, and that's
absolutely.
Voice is
the voice of the. It's close to the voice of the true dreamer, but let me come back to Luz.
Yes, the bone.
The bone.
And connect that to the dream.
Yes. Now,
yes.
In the Bible, the Hebrew Bible, Jacob. Lies down and has this great dream of the ladder with the angels going up, and God is at the summit, and God says to him, I will take you out and bring you back, right? He has this great dream.
Mm-hmm.
And in the morning he wakes up and lifts the stone on which he had lain his head.
Uh-huh.
And it is said in the commentaries that he places the stone exactly at the place of a city called Luz.
Uh-huh.
Now, the word lose means both light and the coccyx bone.
The coccyx at the base of the spine.
At the base of the spine.
Oh.
Right? And so what it is indicating, but that's a more esoteric reading, is that that in the bone is the DNA.
Yes.
And the bone, the marrow of the bone has the same cells as the cells of the eyes.
Mm.
So you're creating light in the marrow if you look into the marrow. One of the ways of developing light.
Yeah. Well, the marrow is where the blood is being created for the whole body, isn't it?
Right.
Yes.
Right.
And the base of the spine is where the kundalini is housed.
Exactly.
So is that what Jacob was referring to, really? That
probably.
Because
the next thing we know is that his whole body's propelled in one great step to a well, and he's got the energy to lift up the stone, and the waters rise up, and he meets Rachel and falls in love. So we're seeing the kundalini rising.
Yeah.
So he's creating that movement of light and energy. He started with the dream. He has recognized it by placing the, you know, making the blessing on the stone, saying, this is the house of God. And then his kundalini rises, and the whole energy in his body rises, and love is the ultimate expression of the rising of the kundalini.
So he dialogued with the dream in order to access more coherence for his conscious life. And was able to achieve great things, but then where does then immortality come in?
Well, immortality consists of being able to raise the light again and again until one is completely consistent with it at all times. So you hear of great saints. Of course, in the Bible, you have Enoch and you have Elijah. You also have a woman called Sarah who achieve immortality, whose bodies go to heaven, if you want.
Sarah, not the wife of Abraham.
Not the wife of Abraham, the daughter of Asher, who's one of the sons of Jacob. And that's a long story, so I won't go into it.
Oh, no, okay, yeah, but no, that's interesting. I didn't realize there was a woman who also turned her body into light from the Bible.
Well, she reappears. She's immortal in the sense in which she reappears 400 years later at Mount Sinai. And, you know,
that's
why
in the
does
commentary,
she reappear?
Though.
She's connected to the bones because 400 years later she's able to tell Moses where the bones of Joseph have been buried.
That's in the Bible, or
that's
in the
Bible, but it's all commentary from the Bible.
The Midrash or something.
Midrash.
Yes. So it's not. But anyway, but let's say we activate this dreaming awareness that we have, and we bring more light in. And this must have been available to great Kabbalists. For a long time, how come they have not achieved this level of immortality?
Well, but you know, there are different ways of understanding immortality. The great Hindu saints and the yogis have talked about that more than the Jewish saints. One is simply to let go of the physical envelope. And move with the light body.
But the conference coming
present
up.
Present and
the conference. No, they're talking about, or at least Jerry Epstein is running the conference, which is October 17th to the 19th.
Right.
At 7
the
East
House
90,
of the Redeemer, right?
Yes, 7 yeah. East 95th. And you can find out about that if you go to drjerryepstein.org. But he's talking about he talks about a very matter of fact physical immortality, and I do think that's possible, and I do think you're onto something with this awareness of the dream and bringing more more light into the body through this coherence.
Think of it this way. Every seventh year, the cells renew themselves.
Mm-hmm.
What stops the cells from continuing to renew themselves?
What stops? Well, that's the big question science is always asking.
Right.
What ages the body? Yes.
Well, it may be a belief system.
I agree with you. I agree. So dreaming, and so I'm just trying to connect all these points. We have dreaming, we have the bones, and then we have this...
The bones is a memory, if you want, the ancestral memory of the species, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the only thing that is that is important. It's the interrelationship.
But but if I want to achieve immortality, and I do, I'm sure lots of people do who know that, how would you suggest going about doing it?
Well, you have to really transform. It's a revolution. You really have to switch your mind to understand that dreaming consciousness is the place where you have to attach yourself, not believing that you're a victim of cause and effect.
Mm.
When you can switch your mind and hold it there, then you're on the road to immortality, I believe. And that renewal every seventh year, seven is a very important number. It's a number that is not dividable.
Mm. Mm.
And it has meaning in the body.
Yeah, the seven chakras, the seven levels of consciousness. So have you done this in your life? Have you switched that to a dreaming consciousness?
I do think I have, but
right.
I will not swear to you that I'll become immortal.
Well, why not?
Because,
I believe it.
Because I don't know yet. I have more to do.
You have more work to do.
More work to do, yes.
But so what is, let's say you have done a lot of it, what is your everyday life like as you live the reality of this dreaming consciousness? What's it like for you?
It's, this is a difficult question.
Well, the show is called New Realities. I'm interested in understanding the sort of reality that you live in because I'm very excited by it.
Well, I am always dreaming. That is, if somebody walks into my office and I see people all day long and I teach all over the world and I have a school here where I teach this, so I'm constantly seeing people.
Mm-hmm.
When they walk in, my dreaming shows me who they are, what they need, what's surrounding them.
Mm-hmm.
It just appears very clearly.
Your
it's
trust,
as if,
yeah.
It's as if there is no separation.
Mm-hmm.
Because the separation is an illusion. It's a reality, too, because we live in it.
Mm-hmm.
But if we can transcend the separation...
When you say your dreaming shows you, would you say that's your intuition that shows you?
I see it clearly in my mind through images, sensations, smells, movements in the body.
Mm. No, that's very
exciting. I hear words.
And that's always on. So you're in touch with a higher level of the mind, you would say.
I think that this is available to everybody.
Yes, I think
and
so
it,
too.
And I've trained a number of people who do this. It's open and available to all of us, but we have gotten caught in believing in cause and effect. So we are the victims of cause and effect, and we continue to be that until we are able to begin to shift and realize that, well, not only is my dreaming showing me the outside reality and the truths that are happening in the world, but I can actually create with my dreaming mind.
Create
and by doing
what?
That, I can
How
create
do you-
and manifest.
In which way, and how do you do that?
You do that by switching your intent and your image.
Uh-huh.
So it has to be true, of course, to your inner dreaming
yes.
integrity. It can't be I want $10 million simply because I want them.
Right, because that's not the dreaming body. That's the ego, left brain.
That's the ego. It's not the true dreaming.
Yeah. So what you're saying is then that, okay, the dreaming mind is always there, but is it, and it's dialoguing with the world all the time.
Right.
So the world is part of our dream.
Absolutely.
And I live that way too. If I see, like, if I hear a bird singing in the background, I'm doing something, I stop. I feel like the world is always talking to us and we just have to listen.
Absolutely. And as we listen, we there's a mystery in relationship. There's a new integration that happens if we're open to it. And so then harmony can happen, because as I'm listening to the world and the world is talking to me, I enter into harmony with it, and then I have no troubles parking my car or finding the way through life, or things get easier.
I think we can all live this way. I mean, is this what Arnold Mandel, The Dreaming Body, do you know his work?
Yes, I do know his work, and
is it
similar to
it's similar to what he's saying as well?
I'm not sure he would say it that way, and I'm not sure he works. He doesn't work the way that I do. There is a great difference in the work that I teach, or Jerry Epstein teaches. We work with revelation, which is, it's tapping into the imaginal mind to find the inner coherence, and it just arises in a very surprising way for people. They're always amazed by what comes up in them.
Well, aren't you amazed as well? Because
of course.
Me too. I mean, that sounds very exciting, the work that you're doing. You know the work of Paul Levy as well? Do you know his dreaming work?
No.
I think you'd be very much appreciative
Paul Levy?
Of Paul Levy, he's out in Oregon, and he wrote a book called The Madness of George Bush. But he's saying this external world is a manifest. The uncomfortableness, the unconsciousness of the external world is an unconsciousness of our own mind.
Exactly.
And, this is very exciting work. I would like to do some more interviews with you. Maybe you can come down to the television station as well and can really go into more detail.
Well, I'd be delighted, because I must say that I feel that all the energies are intensifying, and that people need to return to, this is the original language, the language of experiencing, and we've forgotten it.
No, the way you talk about it makes it very coherent and easy and accessible.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that.
No, at least I get it, because I've been really working with the dream realm and the right brain and trying to understand it and feel it. And I think you've just given me a few pieces that puts it in perspective. So I think we should do some more talks, dialogues, interviews, and I'll be in touch with you.
Thank you very much, and thank you for the opportunity.
No, it's very exciting. I still want to also understand the idea of the bones a little bit, but we'll do that in our next. And I just want to say, you'll be speaking on Saturday at the conference, October 18th.
In the morning.
At the Imagination, Spirit, and Immortality Conference from the American Institute for Mental Imagery. That's drjerryepstein.org. And,
He and I were trained by the same teacher, a great woman Kabbalist in Jerusalem.
Colette,
yes.
Yes, she sounds like an amazing being.
Yes.
But
in fact, there's a beautiful film about her where she's teaching.
What's that called, that
film? It's called Waking Dream.
I'd like to see that. Can we arrange a showing?
Absolutely. I mean, I'd have to ask the filmmaker, but I'm sure he'd be pleased. Yeah.
Well, I organize films sometimes for the Friends of the Institute of Noetic Science, so I will. You find out, and you have my number, but I'll give you a call this week anyway, Catherine.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And I enjoyed talking to you.
Yes, and we're going to have another guest on from the conference, Elizabeth Barrett. So thank you.
Oh, good. She's wonderful.
Okay, so she's my next guest. Thank you. Thank you. I'll talk to you. I was talking to Elizabeth Schoenberg.
Catherine Schoenberg,
sorry. And my next, who's coming to this conference, Imagination, Spirit, and Immortality. And my next guest tonight is Elizabeth Barrett, who's also going to be at that conference. Seth, can you get Elizabeth on the line? This is Alan Steinfeld back with New Realities, and my second guest for the evening is also a speaker at the conference, the Imagination, Spirit, and Immortality Conference, and her name is Elizabeth Barrett. Elizabeth, are you there?
Yes, I am, Alan.
I'm delighted to be here. Thank you. I was just talking to Catherine Schoenberg, and that was very, very exciting work. About the dreams and accessing the light to bring in immortality into the body, basically. What's your understanding of immortality?
Well, I think in our culture we've been so accustomed to thinking about longevity, which is the physical way of experiencing life extension. But immortality is the spiritual way of understanding life extension, whether it's on this earth or in another reality. But I think it's basically the endless infusion of life force coming into us that we connect with through an alliance with whatever we want to call that unitary field of consciousness. And many people refer to it in different ways, but I think that there is the connection that we have, and from my perspective, even if the physical body doesn't quite make it and does so-called die, the unitary human being doesn't die.
Well, the soul is immortal. I mean, most traditions talk about that anyway. So what's the difference between that and, or are you saying the same thing? But because at the conference, it seems like the focus is on physical immortality, which is...
Yes, it is. That's the possibility that's been open to us. But it seems that we commit errors along our life journey that interrupt that process of physical immortality.
So how do we correct...
It is certainly a potential.
But how do we correct the errors and get back in touch with that power, right?
Well, I think that's what the various speakers are going to have a perspective on. And some people say, for example, doubt. It's about doubt. Other people, you know, have different perspectives. I think that Dr. Swanson will be talking more about the physical, about the scientific aspects of physical immortality through his work in science, you know, with past life regressions and out-of-body experiences and near-death experiences, and different speakers will address that common topic of immortality from their own backgrounds. All of them are really great thinkers in terms of this new way of looking at immortality.
Right. No, it sounds like a very exciting conference. And your main work is around power as knowing, right?
Power as defined as the capacity to participate knowingly in change.
Yeah. Can you go into that? Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Based on that basic definition of the capacity to participate knowingly in change, we ask, well, then how do we know it when we see it?
Right.
And it consists of four inseparable dimensions: awareness, choices, freedom to act intentionally, and involvement in creating change. And those four dimensions constitute power, but it can manifest in two types. Power is control, which we know all about. We see it in our man-made world everywhere. And to some extent, we've all been conditioned into that way of thinking. And then what I'm developing, the other type, power is freedom. And both of these types can manifest in innumerable forms.
So how does it manifest for you as freedom? What way can you go into a little more detail?
Well, for one thing, this type of power doesn't interfere with the freedom of anyone else. That's one of the criteria, because power is control very much does, because it's based on manipulation and dominance and force and control.
But what does it look like for you?
For me, it looks like a way of living in the world where I am continuously looking at life situations from the perspective of the four dimensions of power. In other words, when I have a situation that I'm dealing with, whatever that might be, I ask myself, what am I aware of? What choices are open to me now? What kind of options do I have to deal with the situation?
Mm-hmm.
And do I feel free to carry through on those choices? Because that's where a lot of the difficulty lies. It's quite difficult sometimes to do that. And then, finally, how do I involve myself in actions that are going to bring about what I'm trying to achieve through my choices?
And that's power for you. So you're saying it's awareness, choice, freedom, and action. Are those
yes.
the four?
Yes, exactly. And, of course, you can ask those four questions in the other type of power as well, because power is just power. It's a phenomenon that exists in the world. It's how we use it that makes the difference.
Mm.
And we can use it either for control purposes of people, whether it's controlling nations or human beings, individuals in our interpersonal relationships, or we can use it in the efforts of freedom. And I have a paper and pencil instrument that I've developed that measures these aspects, these four dimensions of power, so that I can determine the people that I'm working with, whether they're areas of strength where they lie and their areas of lesser strength. So that then Dr. Gerald Epstein and I have developed something called the power imagery process, where it combines his method of mental imagery, his model, with my theory of power, so that based on the findings from this assessment, power assessment, which we call the power profile, then we design imagery exercises and something called our life plan and power plan process to strengthen people's power as freedom.
I see. So what kind? That's interesting. You developed an instrument that measures that, and how could it measure your awareness or your belief or choice or freedom or action?
It measures those four dimensions by using 12 characteristics of that further define the four dimensions. And they're things like chaotic versus orderly, free versus constrained, profound versus superficial. There are 12 of them. And
so it's like a test you take, like a multiple choice thing?
Yes, it's like a 10-minute, 48-item instrument.
Oh, I see. So when you then finish this, you analyze it and you tell you which part of yourself do you need to work on?
Yes, and which there are 12 characteristics for each of the four. So you have actually 48 items that the person gets feedback on, and we try to then strengthen so that they can have much more autonomy in how they're living their lives and how they're dealing with everyday situations. And one difference in this view versus power is control. In power is control, there's a limited amount, and the more that you have, the less I have. But in power is freedom, there's an unlimited supply. So there isn't any limit on how much
this
you have, I have, everybody has.
It's a more of a psychological profiling
isn't psychological at all.
It's not?
Based on the idea of the human being being what we call unitary. In other words,
that means
the person is irreducible, unpredictable, ever-changing. And it's based on the idea, in contrast to the way the medical model looks at the person these days, as a sum of parts. You know how we have so many different physicians we go to. They're highly specialized. They understand one part of the body. And then it usually is always limited pretty much to the body. Rarely do they investigate other areas of the human being. And we believe that you can add up everything about all this knowledge about the parts of the person. It doesn't tell you anything about the person as a unitary human being, which is much more and very different from the sum of those parts.
You believe the person's unitary because they're an open system that's being fed by an endless supply of energy, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. It has quite a lot in common with the modern physics view of open systems and connection with the invisible world. And this this conference also is addressing that, because the idea of consciousness, which I define as the spirit in all that is, was, and will be, and spirituality as experiencing the spirit in all that is, was, and will be. And there'll be a lot of discussion about consciousness at the conference and how we can tap into the broader consciousness from the invisible world. And our way of looking at the mind is as a channel of communication from the invisible world to the visible. An image travels along that channel of communication.
So we access
the invisible world that way.
The access to the invisible world, then, is the other part of the conference, imagination, then, right?
Absolutely, yes. Yes, it is.
Because the imagination comes from that divine spirit.
It certainly does. And the conference is called Imagination, Spirit, and Immortality. So it's really the way the three are interacting with each other in our quest for eternal life.
So how do we increase the ability of that imagination to flow into us?
Through imagery.
That's one way.
Through reading dreams is another way. Because dreams are images. And as you know, it's not about clock time when you're dreaming. It's about the no time. We call it the no time. But it's not in a physical time-space dimension. It's in a dimension that has no linear aspects to it.
But how's it related to power, that idea of imagination and dreams? How does it connect with your core work?
Because that's one of the methods to help people enhance their power. I do a lot of dream work. I do a lot of imagery work, therapeutic touch, which is an energy work to access the subtle energy. And because we don't end at our skin, you know. We think we do, because that's the dense part we can see, but there's really more.
And then how do we access more through this? Because I think that's what the conference is about, accessing these greater parts of ourselves.
Yes. And I think we're going to have six very interesting and diverse perspectives, but with the common core of understanding that immortality, you know, is a possibility. Physical as well as the immortality that we know most of us believe exists.
Well, I believe it exists.
The physical body is left behind.
But
the person isn't left behind, just the physical body.
So I think what you're also saying is the more power we have, personal power, as opposed to control, the more access we gain to, let's say, the light or the energy of the universe, right?
That's true, because the energy that we're putting out every day in our interpersonal reactions, interactions, and our also with our own internal process is a lot about that.
So aren't we moving into a new time where we're moving into beyond that kind of power that has ruled the, let's say, the Piscean age into a kind of more heart chakra, you know, higher level of
existence? Absolutely. You know, when I was developing my work on power initially, which was 25 years ago when I was doing my doctoral dissertation, I traced the idea of power through the centuries, and I found that there were two themes. One, all power theories are really about change, and most of them are about a causal view. They're very based on this causal reality, and power as control is based on causal reality, whereas power as freedom and the work that these people are doing in the conference, and certainly Jerry Epstein's work, is all about the opposite kind of view. It's not about that limited perspective.
So we need to redefine it.
Out of time experience.
A causal out of time.
Yes.
Power.
Like, you know, the thought experiment that Einstein did with sending a person to the moon. A twin brother stayed on Earth, and when the twin brother, 20 years later, came back from space, he was much younger because he'd been traveling in a much faster motion, whereas the person on Earth had been going in a slower time frame.
Right, he was moving faster.
So we're trying to access that greater dimension in our work.
The dimension of this is what Catherine Schoenberg was talking about, the dimension of light. Or moving at the speed of and
light and the subtle energy that we use in therapeutic touch, the imagery that we use in the imagination process, the power imagery process that Dr. Epstein and I are working with individuals with and corporations. And there's all this theme that goes beyond the causal space-time dimension into the acausal, out of time and focusing on a negentropic process rather than entropic. The entropic is always a breakdown process of decay. And hopefully if we make fewer errors and stay in the present moment, we're in the negentropic process where there is no decay. And that's that out of time, out of clock time experience.
When negative entropy, you're saying.
Yes.
And
yes,
so, but we also need to redefine everything in terms of this new age, let's say.
Absolutely, because that the worldview has to shift, and that means giving up a lot of the assumptions of the old worldview, the causal view.
What are those old assumptions?
Determinism, hierarchy, the idea that everything, and we know the institutions are based on this hierarchical order of command. Whereas in the other view, it's a more horizontal, open, as you said, open systems view, where the leadership shifts depending on the situation. And there's not this authoritarian perspective handed down to us, because we believe every person is their own authority, essentially. And
so
we can reach out to people with knowledge that we don't have and use that, but they're not our authority.
Right, so on a global perspective, you think we're seeing these systems break down right now, the economic system?
Yes, I think we are. I think definitely we're seeing it in the healthcare system. We certainly are seeing it in the economic system.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps they have to break down so that they can come back together in a new way. So in a way, it may be cleansing responses of systems that don't work, that are outmoded, and we have to have a new way of looking at people and their interactions in the world.
So what does the new world look like based on your model? What would that look like politically and economically?
That's a tough question to answer. I think there'd be much flatter kinds of structures.
What do you mean, like physical structures, houses?
I mean, for example, the way institutions are structured from the bottom up, with the people on the bottom having very little to say.
Yeah.
To a different kind of model where it's much more participatory. Participation is a very big aspect of power is freedom.
And you know
and
what? We have the technology.
In an annoying way.
We have the technology to do it. We have computers where everyone
can have a voice
in government. I mean,
Exactly. And this is happening in some healthcare institutions now, where you're having a lot of staff input into what goes on. I have a colleague, Dr. Cynthia Caricelli, who is the director of patient services for all of the VA hospitals in the metropolitan area, and she has implemented the power theory, and based on this way of thinking, has designed the entire patient care services around these principles.
Wow.
So that's a breakthrough. That's a real breakthrough.
So you really are developing new models for a new society.
Yes, and a new time, and hopefully a time when we're healthier, and we will live longer, maybe forever.
It's
a possibility. It's certainly a potential. It's certainly a potential.
Well, I totally believe it's possible, and I think this conference will be a great exercise in that with six different.
It certainly will, and it's October 17th to the 19th.
Yes,
and 3.5 days of these six speakers. It's at the House of the Redeemer.
That's 7 East 95th.
Yes.
And the phone number, if people want to call about the conference, they can call 212-369-4080. And they can email, actually, Jerry, J-E-R-R-Y, at drjerryepstein.org. And you can go to drjerryepstein.org to find out all the details of that conference.
One of the unusual things about this conference is that the speakers have an in-depth time to discuss their ideas.
Mm.
They each have 2 hours. And then on Sunday at the roundtable discussion where the audience will ask questions, we have a four-hour session. So, and often in conferences, the main speakers speak for an hour at most, and this is different. This is very much in-depth of just six people presenting and then the roundtable.
Well, I'm excited about it. I'm going to hopefully be there. There's also the New Life Expo that same weekend, but it's always so much happening in New York anyway.
Yes, absolutely.
But thank you, Catherine. And is there a website to reach you personally with your work?
Well, my website is under construction. It's at drelizabethbarrett.com.
Okay. That's Barrett, B-A-R-R-E-T-T.
Yes, but I can give you my email address and also my phone number.
Well, you can just give the email, if you
want. It's E as in Elizabeth, A as Ann. M is Mary Barrett, B-A-R-R-E-T-T, at nyc.rr.com.
Thank you, Elizabeth, for being a guest on New Realities tonight.
Thank you, Alan. I've enjoyed it.
And I will be seeing you at this conference coming up, which is,
I'll look forward to it, yes.
Imagination, Spirit, and Immortality, The Quest for Eternal Life. I'll be there October 17th to the 19th. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. If you have any questions, email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. Also, check my website for all the events that are happening in the New York area at newrealities.com. You can also check my interviews on YouTube under New Realities, and the archives of all my BBS radio shows are on BBS Archives under New Realities and will be coming to the website. So thank you very much for listening. And next week I'm going to have Dr. Claude Swanson, also who's be speaking at the conference. He'll be speaking about the synchronized universe, a new science of the paranormal. I think he's talking about life between lives, the consciousness exists between lives. So thank you for tuning in, and I will talk to everybody next week. I welcome your comments, newrealities.com, and Thanks again. Good night.